It's time to learn all you can about buying, selling, financing, and developing real estate in today's market. Welcome to Mortgage Solutions with Tim Halliday, the show that provides you with the information you need when considering any real estate venture. Just sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and get your questions ready, because Tim will be helping you attain your goals in the complex world of real estate. Here's your host, Tim Halliday.
Welcome to Mortgage Solutions. I'm your host, Tim Halliday. The purpose of this show is to educate you about real estate and real estate financing so you are better equipped to take on the largest transactions of your life. Yes, I use the plural because I believe that everybody should own more than one piece of real estate at a time. Today is Christmas Day. If you're listening today, we are not live on the air. December 25th, 2014. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. I hope you have had a wonderful and are having a wonderful Christmas, and I hope you have a wonderful New Year as well. So I'm just I'm ecstatic to be able to talk to you on Christmas Day. I have a tradition that I wrote a poem. 'Twas the month before Christmas, and I'm going to read that for you later on here. But first, talk about the market a little bit. As I said, it's not live, so I don't know. The markets are actually closed today on Christmas Day, but as of a couple of days ago, the Dow crested 18,000, so that's a pretty big milestone, and it was really on the news that the third quarter GDP improved and actually was up by 5%, so growth in the economy by 5%. Now, I have no doubt that next month they're going to revise those numbers down, but a 5% growth in the third quarter is significant, so that's very good news in my opinion. And I believe part of it's due to oil prices. Oil prices are rock bottom. As of Tuesday of this week, they were at 58 something a barrel, so under $60 a barrel. I know the last load of propane that I got, I paid $1.17 a gallon for propane. It was ridiculous. I was ecstatic. So it's been well over $3 most winters. So everybody is going to benefit from this relief from energy prices. Everybody but the oil companies, and I'm sure they'll survive it. They have the reserves. And in the meantime, they're pumping it out of the ground and creating more of a glut, and so hopefully oil prices will continue to go down. But anyway, last week, we started talking about what every lender needs to be able to approve your loan. So we're going to continue on that path. But before we do that, thank you again. I appreciate you listening. And really, before I get started on today's show, I really also want to say thank you to all of the amazing clients that I have. I appreciate you all. I appreciate the listeners that are listening to the station and listen to me on a regular basis and comment and get back to me all the time. So thank you very much. We had a great year at Victory Funding and Living Well Realty, and it's really all because of you guys. All right, so let's jump back into the series we had started last week. If you're considering buying real estate and going to the bank, or you're a seller and are considering some creative financing, you need to know some key things to prepare for. So today, we're going to talk about five major issues that can slow down or stop your loan in its tracks. So last week, we talked about what every lender needs to approve your loan. And then we started talking about the five major issues that can derail your loan and how to avoid them. So we talked about bad credit and how understanding what makes up your credit can have a huge impact on how you deal with it. So again, you can go to my blog at timhalliday.com. You just have to spell my name correctly. It's H-A-L-L-A-D-A-Y, timhalliday.com. And you'll see that this is on there as well. It talks about the credit mix and what you need to know about that. The next of the five major items is income miscalculation. There are so many ways to calculate income, it would blow your mind. There's a lot to that. So I want to make sure that you pay attention to that and you understand how to calculate your income. If it's anything other than a W-2, you should probably have me take a look at it, go through it. I'll give you the good news, the bad news, and the ugly news. The part of the good news is we're at the end of the year. So let's say you had a terrible year in 2012. 2013 was okay, but 2014 was even better. Well, if you haven't filed your 2014 taxes yet, you can file those in such a way that we can take it. You can take advantage of your write-offs and all of that. But also, it may be wise for you not to claim some of your write-offs. You don't have to. You're not obligated to claim write-offs. You are obligated to claim every nickel of income. And I certainly don't want you ever to cheat on your taxes. I would not advocate that in any way, shape, or manner. But you don't have to take every single write-off you're entitled to. You will have to pay more taxes if you do that, which the IRS will be very happy about. But it may help you qualify for a loan where otherwise you cannot. So I can always take a look at that. So income miscalculation is one of the five roadblocks that we're going to talk about, or that we did talk about. And then we left off with this one, that you must document all deposits that are over 50% of your paycheck. I could talk about that for a long time, because that is probably on almost every single loan that I do, I have to give this education about their asset documentation. So if you have a checking savings account and you're putting any money in that account other than your normal direct deposited paycheck, then it has to be documented, and it has to be from an acceptable source if we're going to use it to help you close the loan. So acceptable sources include regular pay, overtime pay, bonus pay, anything that we can document. So if it's a gift, we have to document it as a gift. If you sold something, we have to document the whole transaction, from the fact that you owned it, what it was worth, the fact that you sold it, how you sold it, to whom you sold it, and how you got paid for that. So again, if it's cash, it's kind of tough. That's a tough one to have a lender verify. If it's money that was under your mattress and you want to put it in the bank, that's not going to work. We have to be able to track the funds, not just the cash, so the funds. So even if you went and took it and put it a money order in, that's the same as cash. They have to know where that money came from. And my mattress is not an acceptable answer. So that's a big deal. So get a grasp on that. And again, that's something that I talk to every single borrower about. Gifts. Let's talk about gifts. Sometimes gifts are allowed. Sometimes they're not. It depends on the program. No matter what, they must be properly documented, and they must include the source and proof the donor had funds to give. So this is actually number four, the source of the funds and the proof the donor had the funds to give. So let me back up a little bit and explain that a little bit further. Let's say you are getting a gift from your parents, and it's you and your spouse, and the parents don't necessarily want you to see everything that's in their account. So they're going to give you the gift. They're going to sign the gift letter. They'll even, They'll make sure you have the funds. But in order to use that gift, I have to see a bank statement that shows that they had the ability to give. So it doesn't have to be 30 days worth of statement. It can be one day, but it has to have the balance before they gave the money. It has to show the money leaving their account, preferably in a bank check, but it can be a personal check as long as I see that, and then the balance afterwards. And that one-day snapshot has to be, I have to be able to identify that it's the donor's account. So it has to have their name and account number, and none of that information can be redacted. You can't line out, you can't cross out, you can't black out, you can't do anything with that. Everything on that one-day snapshot, which has to come from a bank, by the way, and be signed and stamped by the bank, it all has to be readable 100%. If it's not, then I can't use it. So therein lies the rub. A lot of times donors feel that we're asking for way too much information, and they don't understand that without that gift is null and void. I cannot use that gift if I can't show where it came from. So I have had many conversations with many gift donors about this. And it's not me. It's not my guideline. It is a universal guideline across the board. So if you're getting a gift from a parent, make sure you talk to me about it ahead of time, because there are ways to do this that are less intrusive, but we have to know in advance. You can't come to me and say, Tim, we got a gift of $5,000. Here it is. But my parents won't show you where it came from. I can't use it. Now we have to start over again in a different way. So it can be, like I said, it can be cumbersome. It is definitely a showstopper if we don't do it correctly. So that's the fourth showstopper, if you will, or thing that can, major issue that can slow down or stop a loan in its tracks. On the last one, we're going to talk about, actually we've got Yeah, but we're going to take a break right now. So I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, we will finish our conversation about things that you need to know and be prepared for that will stop your loan in its tracks. We'll be right back. As a Capital Region local for 22 years, I've been on all sides of the home buying and selling process. Buying several investment properties myself, I know what concerns you have, and I will not place you in a home that is more than you can afford. This is about what's right for you, not me. As a servant of the Lord, I am accountable to God Himself for every single thing that I do, including helping you into that new home. To be a good steward, I'm not only a registered mortgage broker, but a licensed real estate broker as well. With 20 plus years of experience, I will help you through the entire process. I disclose all of the standard fees up front to make sure there are no surprises at your closing. Call me for any of your mortgage needs today at 899-7700. That's 899-7700.
Victory Funding is a New York State registered mortgage broker. All loans through third-party providers.
Welcome back to Mortgage Solutions. I'm your host, Tim Halliday. We are working on this information here. Five major issues that can slow down or stop your loan in its tracks. So quick recap, bad credit, income miscalculation, documenting all deposits, and including the source of your donation or gift. All right. So the fifth and one of the most major things is credits to borrower. Every credit to the borrower must be properly documented and allowed by the specific loan program the borrower is using. So this is going to pertain more to some complicated deals. It pertains to every deal, but let me give you some examples of a little bit different type of deal. Let's talk about a lease option. So with a lease option, the borrower must pay market rent as the base and document that it is the market rent with a form called a 1007. So let me back up a little bit. A lease with option is a way to purchase a property. You agree to pay a certain amount of rent to the seller, and part of that rent is going to be credited back to you as basically a savings. In other words, they're going to give you an allowable amount towards your down payment. So when you do that, let's say the market rent for the property is $1,000 a month. If you agree to pay $1,000 a month rent and the seller says, well, we're going to give you a $200 a month credit, you can't use that. The lender will not recognize that $200 a month credit, even though you've agreed to it with the seller. The seller and you have both agreed, the lender won't allow it. Unless when you do that, let's say the market, again, same example, market rent is $1,000, you need to pay the landlord $1,200 a month. When you pay that $1,200 a month, and we can document, and I say document because it's very important to document, that the market rent for that area is $1,000 a month, now that $200 a month can be used towards your down payment and closing costs. So if you've been there a year, you get a $2,400 credit. 2 years, $4,800 credit, and so on. So that's very, very important. If you don't document that, and by the way, when you document that using that same scenario, you have to document every rent check that you want credit for. So that credit can be, like I said, it can be $200 a month, but you've got to document that. So when I say a 1007, that's an appraisal form and it's a rent schedule. So an appraiser, somebody who's licensed to determine values, would go into their system, into the MLS, and find comparable rents and give you a comparable rent schedule. Right when you start that, even if you're going to buy it in 2, 3, or 4 years, you want that comparable rent schedule as part of your package, and you want to document that right when you start. And here's why. And I've had done several of these, which is why I know this is a showstopper. We've had to restructure entire deals because of this. So when you... let's say it's been 3 years and you're going to go apply for a loan now. Now the lender is going to require that 1007 form to check the market rent. Well, the market rent may be $1,200 today, but it wasn't 3 years ago. But guess what? They don't know that. They can't determine that. So you are going to have to document that ahead of time, or you're going to have to pay a lot of money to get an appraiser to go back in time and find rental comparables, which are very difficult to find as it is and much more difficult to find in reverse. So again, that's a big deal. to document that. So that's one. Another example would be a land contract, or another way to phrase that is a delayed purchase. So what's a delayed purchase or a land contract? That is when a buyer agrees to purchase a home for a certain price, and basically the seller holds a mortgage on that property, but the deed is not filed. So if the deed is not filed, it's called a land contract. So in that scenario, you have to document the deposit with canceled deposit check and bank statement that shows no large deposits, or that won't count. I'll give you a great example. I'm dealing with this right now. Had a buyer give a $5,000 deposit on a piece of property they were purchasing with a land contract. They lived in the property for 4 years. Now they're trying to buy it. And guess what? That deposit was right next to the withdrawal of that $5,000 in their bank statement was right next to a deposit for $5,000, which happened to be a gift from the borrower's mother. Well, that seems easy enough, right? Well, the woman is 97 years old, doesn't have a bank account anymore, and is not in a mental state to be able to provide any documentation. So that $5,000 credit, he doesn't get. So we had to reduce the purchase price by that to make sure he still got it. But it just makes the transaction extremely complicated when you do that. So again, anytime you're embarking on any financial deal, it is always very wise to find out what the lending guidelines are that surround that deal so that it can be properly documented at the beginning of the process, not try to scramble and restructure it when you finally decide to get to the end of the deal. That's much easier for everybody involved if you start ahead of time. Seller concession, similar credit. It's a credit going back to the seller. Again, it must fit the program. You can't just decide, well, I need $10,000 as a seller concession in order to buy the house. I don't have enough money, so we'll just throw $10,000 in there. Well, if it's FHA, you can get a 6% seller concession, and that's a percentage of the purchase price. So if it's a $100,000 purchase price, a 6% seller concession will be $6,000, and the seller would net $94,000 in that scenario. But if you switch to conventional, all of a sudden they only allow a 3% seller concession. So now, even if the contract says 6% or $6,000, I can only use $3,000 of that in that situation because those are the conventional guidelines. So you have to understand the lending side of things in order to put a real estate deal together, which if you think about it, it makes sense. It's really all about the money. Once a seller wants to sell and a buyer wants to buy, the very next question is, how are you going to pay for it? So if you are not a mortgage lender and you don't know the guidelines, then you need to talk to somebody that does. And I will tell you from experience that not every mortgage loan originator knows the guidelines. They know how to take an application and they know some basics, but they're not going to drill down into those guidelines and give you the kind of guidance you need that you need to talk to an expert for that. So you need to talk to somebody that, you know, has been doing this for a very long time, like me. For instance. But again, you want to make sure that that's the case. Collateral, there are a few showstoppers here. This is the last category. So really those five, and again, three of them were in the asset category. The other two were in income, the income category, right? So you had credit, right? Credit is its own showstopper. Income, and then three out of the five were in the asset category. Collateral, there are a few showstoppers in the collateral category because most homes appraise for the purchase price. But do be aware of government loan requirements. So these are things that can slow your loan down significantly. I wouldn't call them majors because they're usually easy to overcome. So when you're looking at a home to purchase, if you're going to use a government loan product like VA, FHA, USDA, here are some things that you that they cannot find on the appraisal. You know, in others, when your appraisal happens, they're going to look for these things, and if they're on there, they have to be corrected. So chipped and peeling paint, big no-no. And you may look at a house that has vinyl siding and say, what could possibly go wrong? But if you look, if the windows haven't been wrapped with aluminum, frequently there is chipped and peeling paint around the windows or in the window sills, in the pockets themselves, you'll find chipped or peeling paint. That's actually the most dangerous place for chipped or peeling paint because of the potential lead content, and it's usually in bad shape, and that's where kids get into it, and they can get it in their mouths and ingest it, and it's not a good thing. No cracked or broken windows. So especially in an older house, the windows haven't been changed out. It's not uncommon to find a cracked window. But again, you've got to look for those because they're going to have to be replaced before the appraisal. Or if you don't and the appraiser finds it, they have to be corrected. And then you have to pay the appraiser another anywhere from $100 to $150 to go back and take a look at it. No missing outlet covers, all handrails in place, any health or safety issues. Those are really the big things that government appraisals are looking for. So the key to this whole process and these whole last 2 weeks of conversation is to plan your next purchase or structure your next sale properly. And again, Victory Funding, Living Well Realty, we are here for that purpose, to help you do this correctly the first time. So pick up the phone, talk to one of us about your specific circumstances. We will dig down, ask the right questions so you're properly prepared when you find the right house. We can help you structure the sale of your property to a family member or another buyer so they will be prepared when the time comes to get a mortgage, and there will be no surprises. That's the key to this whole thing, right? Nobody likes surprises when you're in a process that you're unfamiliar with anyway. So just be careful of that. We are a concierge service, both at Victory Funding and Living Well Realty. We offer expert financial analysis, financial pre-qualification of your home and potential buyers that come if you are selling, expert management of your loan process for a smooth transaction. Not easy. I didn't say easy. I said smooth. And personal service that includes regular updates and frequent contact. We follow up with you after the sale for a long time as well, up to 5 years. Support staff, you'll have access to top-notch professionals in our network. That's a big deal. I have vetted attorneys and title people and inspectors for years and years and years, and you have the benefit and access to those folks, engineers, contractors, you name it, for years. So you have access to those people when you use our services. So relax. It can be stressful, but if you focus on the blessing, you'll get through with ease with the right team. Call Victory Funding and Living Well Realty today. Again, Victory Funding is 899-7700. Living Well Realty, 899-5000. We're located in beautiful upstate New York, the epicenter of economic activity in Malta, just south of Saratoga Springs, and we are always there to serve you. This is Tim Halliday reminding you to renew your mind daily, stay positive, and be a blessing to those God puts you in contact with. Remember, your attitude and your actions are your choice. May God richly bless you. Thank you for listening today. We'll continue this conversation next week right here on Mortgage Solutions.
To start the process of buying a home, investing in real estate, or obtaining a mortgage for purchase or refinance, call the offices of Victory Funding today at 899-7700. That's 899-7700. Victory Funding is a New York State registered mortgage broker with offices in Malta, New York. NMLS number 49846. All loans are through third-party providers.